Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
I like what the psalmist said. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. To go to church, praise God, I was glad, thank God it's Sunday. The world says, thank God it's Friday. And we say that sometimes if we have a special meeting on Friday night. But for us, it's thank God it's Sunday. Can I get a witness? I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Because God does awesome things when we come together in his house. He meets with us in a special way. And so we want to get everything he has for us when we come to church. And there's some things you'll receive in church that you won't get anywhere else. Thank God for our own personal time with the Lord. And the Lord speaks to each one individually, one-on-one. But then there's some things he'll only speak to you through those that he's placed over you in the church. A big reason why we need to come to church is so that we can hear from our pastor. So that our pastor can pastor us. You need a pastor. Every Christian needs a pastor. The Bible refers to them also as shepherds. Now we know the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. But how does he shepherd us? He shepherds us through an under-shepherd, someone that he places his spirit upon to shepherd his people. So God's people need a shepherd, they need a pastor if they want the Lord to be shepherding them like he wants to shepherd them. God wants to lead you, he wants to guide you in life, and so that's why he's placed leaders over our life. And I did an entire series last year on the power of having a shepherd or a pastor, the power of having a pastor, and that is out in our bookstore out there in the main foyer. And you know, if you've never heard that message, I encourage you to go get that series. Now would be a great time to do it. Because it will really complement what I will be ministering on here this morning and the next few Sundays. So get that word. It's very important. The power of having a pastor. You need to have a pastor. And we see over here in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 11, the Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Notice what he said there. He said, I long to see you. Again, here he is, the Apostle Paul. He has apostled or started many, many churches. And he wants to see the people that now are a part of these churches. And there's a reason why he wants to see them. It's so that he might impart something to them. That word impart means to infuse, inject, transfer. He wanted to transfer some things from himself or from the Spirit of God that was upon his life into the lives of the people in the congregation. He wanted to infuse some things, inject some things into them. God wants to give us a faith injection today. God wants to inject you with something. He wants to put something in you. He doesn't just want to teach you and give you knowledge. We need knowledge. We need teaching. But in the midst of the teaching and the knowledge that's coming forth, he wants to be infusing things into you. Why? So that you may be established. He wants you to be established in life. That word established in the original Greek language here means to strengthen you, to make you stable, make firm, fix, secure. When we think about being secure, it's about being made safe and protected. God wants you to be safe and protected. How many people know we have enemies in this world? There are demons in this world that seek to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're full of hate, but the ones they hate the most are Christians. They hate Christians. Why? Because we follow Christ, and they hate Christ. And Jesus came for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came for that purpose. When Jesus came on the scene, devils fled. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As Jesus walked this earth, people that had demons, that were possessed with demons, would begin to cry out. These demons would cry out of them. And Jesus would cast them out. He would deliver the people from demons. You know, we're being harassed by demons a whole lot more than people realize. People just feel, you know, sometimes people just think they're dealing with their circumstances. You know, their circumstances are all messed up. You know, things are just going bad for them. And so next thing you know, they're dealing with major, major headaches. They're dealing with stress. They're dealing with all this depression. And they just think it's because of their circumstances and what they're going through. And meanwhile, no, there's an enemy. There are demon spirits that would try to oppress you. And that's what's causing you to be depressed. It's because there's evil spirits that are harassing you. People are dealing with fear. Fear is called a spirit in the Word of God. There's a spirit behind fear that harasses people's life. So we have enemies all around us trying to steal from us, trying to rob us in life, trying to take our lives from us, and if possible, destroy our souls for all eternity in a place called hell. They would love to do that. But thank God, God, in his great love and mercy for us, has provided protection. He wants us to be protected. He wants us to be in a safe place. And church provides that place. The gift that is on the pastor is to shepherd you. It's to protect you. It's to drive the wolves away. It's to keep you from the enemy. It's to put a shield of faith around you that adds to the faith that you have to help you. How many would like some extra help on the battlefield of life? As we're on the battlefield of life, we got to understand that we're not to be loners. No soldier goes to war by himself. No soldier goes out into a battle without being a part of the military. He's got support. He's got help. He's got people around him that are giving him cover from the enemy. And we need cover. God's people need to be covered. And that's what he provides through a pastor, a shepherd, through the local church. He provides a covering for his people to guard them, to protect them from evil. That's all a part of you being established. Established. And it goes beyond just being in this room. Because when you're here and you're connected here, God's able to do things in your life. And then when you go out from here, you're still a part of this. You're still a part of his family. You're still part of his house. And so what he's doing here goes with you and continues to establish you, continues to strengthen you, continues to make you secure, continues to protect you and give you cover in life. Now, the Apostle Paul says here, he says, "For I long to see you. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." There was something about them showing up at church that enabled God to do things through Paul that he wouldn't be able to do unless he was able to see them. So he says, "Well, I listen online." Thank God for modern technology. Thank God for listening online. God's able to work through the internet. God's able to work through CDs. God's able to work through teaching tapes. God's able to work through books. You know, we thank God for all these things. But they are not a substitute or a replacement to you showing up in the house of God where you could be seen. You being seen affects things. It affects the utterance that comes forth. It affects the kind of anointing that we're going to have in the service. You know, there's been times where God has very clearly spoken some things to my heart, and then I got up and the whole message changed. And I know he gave me that message for that service. And yet, I couldn't minister that message. It was not in me. It just like left. I couldn't do it. And he redirected the message. And I've prayed about that. And, you know, I've seen that it's because of who showed up and who didn't show up. And it's not something I'm doing in my mind. I don't look at people and go, yeah, I know what I need to say to her. I know what I need to say to him. No, it's not like that. See, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the grace upon your life. The Spirit of God sees. The gift of God sees through the one that he has anointed. And when he sees you in your place, when he sees you in the house, when he sees that you've turned aside to listen and be a part of church, he speaks to you. The Spirit of God will speak things to you that he's not going to speak to you on the internet. They speak some things to you on the internet, but there's some things you'll miss if you're not in the house of God. Just like Moses, perfect illustration, Moses is walking along and he's got Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep, and he looks over and he sees a bush that's on fire, but the bush is not being consumed by the fire. And he looks at it and he makes this statement. He said, I will now turn aside and see why this bush burns and is not consumed. He said, I will now turn aside and check out this strange sight. And then the Bible says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, the Lord spoke to him from the bush. So here, the presence of God, the fire of God, the anointing of God was on a bush. Now, the bush isn't so special, but it's what's on the bush that makes it special. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing with the pastor. Same thing with the apostle. Same thing with those that God's placed in authority over his people's lives. It's not that they're so special. It's what's upon them that is so special. And that's what we have to understand. And so just like what was upon that burning bush, what was upon that bush, saw Moses turn aside and come to church. Saw Moses come to get a front row seat. Saw Moses to come and get closer. When he saw that, he responded to that. And that goes along with what he said over in the book of James. He said, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Well, God knows where I am, and if he wants to talk to me, he can talk to me right out here where I am. All right. That's not what he said, though. He said, draw near to him. He said, come close to him. How do we do that? One of the ways we do that is we come to church. So we have to understand that when we're missing church, we're missing our divine appointment. We're missing an appointment with God. God has set up a time where he wants to see you and meet with you. Well, he saw me when I got out of bed this morning. Well, he sees me all the time. Yeah, but he wants to see you in church. Because there's things he wants to say to you here. How many of you know obedience is very important? It's not just doing what we think and what we feel. Maybe, it just might be, it's just because God wants to see obedience. And if we don't obey, there's things we're not worthy of. There's things that he's not going to share with us. There's things he's not going to tell us. There's things we're going to disqualify ourselves of if we don't obey him, if we don't play according to his rules. Football player catches the ball. He's running along. He runs out of bounds. They're blowing the whistle. And he just keeps running down the field. Everybody's just watching him. And they'll go, boy, he is fast. Boy, he's almost to the end zone now. He's completely out of bounds. The whistle was blown all the way back here on the 30-yard line. But there he goes. He just a running, saying, hoo-hoo-hoo, nobody's tackled me. Nobody stopped me. Runs into the end zone, starts doing a dance. Everybody's just looking at him, saying, hey, fella, did you hear the whistle? Back here. On the 30-yard line. Come on back. He's just doing his thing. And he's just celebrating. How many people know? No points are on the board. Nobody's any better. He's just living in his own little dream world. He's just doing his own thing. He's out of bounds. There's a way to do things that God has set up, and we have to do it his way. So if he says, I will see you at church, get to church. Because if you don't come to church, you're going to miss some things that will establish you, that will strengthen you, that will make you more secure so that you're more safe and more protected from the one that wants to rip you off, wants to rob you and ruin your life. There's a devil who wants to destroy your life. And he's having too much fun with people. He's having too much fun with Christians. He's just a messing Christians' lives up. He's just ripping them off, stealing from them. And then they come to church, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes they do. And I'm not picking on anybody. And if you're a person that's kind of, you know, if you fit the description, don't sit there and say, he's talking to me. He's talking. I'm not talking to you. The fire on me is talking to you. I'm not thinking about you personally. I'm just flowing what the Spirit of God is giving me. He is speaking these things out. And, you know, this is something that much of the body of Christ is doing wrong. And that's why they have so many issues. They have so many problems. Because they're not getting the supply of the Spirit that they're supposed to be getting at church. They're hit and miss. Hit and miss. And so they're not getting a proper, balanced diet. They're not getting the cover that they are to have. They're not getting the kind of protection, and thus the devil's getting too much place in their life. We got to be where the Spirit of God tells us to be. And one of the places he's called Christians to be is to be in his house, to be a church. And that's why being a church is so important. And that's why being a church is so exciting. Because God meets with us. It is an appointment with him. If somebody really important said, you know, I want to meet you at such and such a time, and you're all excited, you know, you think, so-and-so, I'm meeting with me. I mean, this person can really help me. This person can really prosper. This person can really change the course of my life. You'd make sure you got there. You wouldn't just sit there and say, I just don't feel like it. You know, I was up late last night. Or, you know, all the excuses people come up with. You wouldn't look for an excuse. You would move everything out of your way. You would do whatever you can to get there. If you believed that the one that wanted to meet with you really was someone that would bless your life, that would really help your life, that would really put you over in life, you would take it seriously. You would do everything you can to get there. And so that's exactly how it is with church. God wants to establish you. He wants to place things in you. See, he said, I long to see you. This isn't just the Apostle Paul talking. We know that. This is the Word of God. These are words inspired by God. This is the heart of God. This Bible reveals the heart of God. This apostle is just revealing the heart of God, saying, I long to see you. Long to see you. Primarily where? In the house of God. In the house of God, that's where your pastor, that's where your spiritual leaders are going to see you. That's where that pastor's anointing is going to be able to pastor you. And how many people know the commander-in-chief in the military, who is that? The commander-in-chief of the military would be in our country, the President of the United States, right? Well, the commander-in-chief, how many people know, he doesn't get out there and he doesn't give orders to all the troops of what to do. You don't see the president out there giving orders to people. The commander-in-chief isn't out there telling each soldier what to do, is he? No, there's delegated authority. There's his generals and then those under him. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. God has delegated authority. There are some folks that he speaks through in order to minister to you. You know, we see that in the book of Revelation. If you want to go there real quick, Revelation chapter 2, and in verse 1, now this is Jesus speaking to John, giving John a message to give to the messengers of his churches. And so in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. So he's telling John, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Well, how many people know humans don't write letters to angels? But when we look at this, we understand that the word here, angels, means messenger. Messenger, to the angel, or to the messenger. And other translations of the Bible say messenger. So here he's talking about writing a letter to the messenger of the church that's at Ephesus. So here you got this church full of people at Ephesus. And here there's a message that God wants to get to the messenger of the church so that he can relay that message to the people at Ephesus. Well, who's the messenger of the church at Ephesus? Who do you think that might be? Who do you think it might be that brings the message to the church? It's the pastor. The pastor of the church is going to bring the message. He's the messenger to the church that he is assigned to. And so we see the message is given there to the church at Ephesus. Then in verse 8, he says, to the angel or the messenger of the church in Smyrna, write. And here is another message. So here you got one message over here to the church at Ephesus. You got another message here to the church at Smyrna. Verse 12, and to the angel or messenger of the church in Pergamos, write. So here's another message for the church of Pergamos, and it's different from these other two messages. See, there's a different message for each congregation, for each church, and notice how it comes. It comes from Jesus through his messenger, of the church. So, how many want to make sure they're getting what Jesus wants to say? You know, I think also there's some things we're not going to see on our own because we're blinded by many times ourself and our preconceived ideas about ourselves and our life. You know, a lot of times people get so involved in their world and they have so many opinions about the people in their life that they can't even see what they need to see concerning the things that they're facing. They can't see it on them because their mind is so programmed one way. So when they get in the Word, they're not seeing things that they need to see concerning those relationships, concerning those people in their life. A lot of times people are blinded, again, by preconceived ideas. They're blinded by their own pride. But when you come to church, there's things that God can say to you, say to you, and begin to convict you of, begin to deal with you about stuff. And if you look at the things that Jesus is saying to these churches, if you read through them, we're not going to take the time to do it, but you read through them. I mean, what he's saying here, these are very convicting messages. I mean, Jesus is not patty caking. He's not playing patty cake with the church. He's not being a real sweetie. He's a sweetie, but he's not acting like a sweetie. He is being very sharp and to the point, and he is addressing issues in their life, areas of disobedience in their life, things that are not right in their life, in order to get their lives to line up to his will so that he can bless them like he wants to. He wants to bless their life, and there's things blocking those blessings. So he's coming in there, and he's very straightforward. And he's just telling them what they need to repent of, what they need to change, showing things. He's saying, hey, you're doing a great job in this area, but this has to change. And he's dealing with things. And a lot of times that's what God will do in a church service to people. I've had people say to me, boy, you really stepped on my toes today, Pastor. Well, that message really stepped on my toes today. Well, it's the Lord. The Lord will step on your toes. But don't be afraid of getting your toes stepped on. Let God step, let him deal with stuff in your life that need to be dealt with. It's to help you. It's to bring you up higher. I mean, if you're just satisfied with your life, you think you have such a great life, you don't need to go any higher, then that's fine. But as for me, I want to go higher. And I think most of you know, there's a lot more for us to attain to and walk in God than we're currently experiencing right now. How many want to go higher? Why don't you just tell the Lord, say, Lord, I want to go higher. Yeah, so we come to church so God could take us up higher. You know, we're full of all this life of God. It's like a big helium balloon, you know. You got these big helium balloons, but then you got these ropes with these weights that hold that basket, that balloon down, you know. And that balloon ain't going anywhere, you know. As long as it's got those heavy weights, it's tied down to those heavy weights. The guy could sit inside the basket and just cause that thing to glow. You know, he just turn up the fire. He ain't going anywhere. He's sitting inside the basket. He's like, I got the fire of the Holy Ghost. I got the power of God. I got the word of God. He ain't going anywhere. He needs somebody to come along and start cutting ropes. He needs some folks to go, thank God, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the power of God. I got the word of God. I got the blessing of God. I got a relationship with Jesus. I'm born again, blessed. You need to go to those glow, balloon glows or anything like this. They keep turning up the fire. You know, ain't going anywhere. Everybody's glowing, but they're not going. Balloons are made to go. Amen. They're made to go. Praise God. But you see, you need someone else to come along. Cut the ropes. Cut the ropes. Loose you from those things that are holding you down. While you're sitting in the basket, you got the fire, you got everything going. Say, I need someone to get rid of these ropes for me. I need someone to get rid of these weights for me. And then as those weights and those ropes begin to are removed, next thing you know, oh yeah. Now you just go. And you don't just glow. You can glow and go. I like that. I want to glow and go. I don't want to just glow and not go anywhere, not be changed. That's why it's important. See, we need help. And so here are these messages. That's what they're designed to do. God's giving these messages, but he's not speaking to each individual. He's not sitting there speaking to each individual. He's speaking it through one individual. He's speaking it through one messenger. And that message is going forth, and then his spirit is working, and he is imparting, and he is infusing, he is correcting, he is adjusting, and he is protecting his people. That's what he's doing. When you go from this place to today, you will be strengthened in your faith. Your shield of faith will be stronger. And as you put your heart more into what God has given you, his local church, the more you put your heart into that, the more of a covering you're going to have over your life, the more of a protection you're going to have over your life. And so he goes through and all seven churches, he's got a different message for each church. So it's very important to be in the right church. How many of you know there's a lot of churches out there? There are a lot of churches. It's very important to be in the right church. See, how do I know what is the right church? Well, you know, it's interesting when you look here in the book of Revelation and you see these seven churches. I believe these seven churches are really a picture of the different kinds of churches that we have today. There are seven different kinds of churches. There's a lot of churches, but there's seven different kinds of churches. And Jesus lists them right here. He shows us all seven of these churches. The first church, he talks about Ephesus. He talks to them about how they got great works, but they have departed from their love for the Lord. So it's a church with works, but no love for the Lord. And there are a lot of churches like that. They have great works, ministry, serve, go, do things for God. We're going to do things for God. Every soul knows we're going to do things for God, and they're doing things for God. But they've left their love for God. So that's one church. The other church is Smyrna. That's the persecuted church that's suffering poverty and martyrdom. You don't see a whole lot of that in our country, but it's happening in other parts of the world where Christians are in poverty, they're impoverished, and they're being martyred, they're being killed for their faith. That's going on in the world. That's a second kind of church. Then there's the church at Pergamos. This is the compromising worldly church with mixed doctrines, and they don't repent. They're a worldly church. Everything's beautiful. Everything's grace. God loves you as you are. Nothing has to change. And they're full of compromise. Then there's the church at Thyatira, which that's the corrupt church that follows seductive prophets or prophetesses. And every week, you know, they're going to lay hands on you and give you a word, give you a prophetic word. God's got a word from you. They don't build folks' lives on the word of God. They have a word. And a lot of it is just seducing believers and making people dependent upon the people, not dependent upon God. Then there's the church at Sardis, which is the dead church that fell asleep. Do you think there's a few of those out there? How many of you think we're a dead church? I don't think so. I don't think we're a dead church. And I don't think we're a church that doesn't love Jesus. He's number one. I said he's number one around here. Bless God, it's not about ministry, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Well, that first church had left that. Then you got the dead church that fell asleep. Then you got the lukewarm church that's neither hot or cold. They're somewhere in between. They don't get too fired up for God, you know, but they're not freezing cold either. They're just right down the middle, you know. Jesus didn't like that. He said to them, he said, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you're neither hot or cold. He said, I want you either hot or cold. You're either in or you're out. Stop this middle of the road nonsense. Get all in or get all out. And so then there is the faithful church of brotherly love that endures patiently. So you got seven different churches you can go to. Which church do you want to go to? You can, again, you could go to the church that has works but has no love for the Lord, the persecuted church that's suffering in poverty and martyrdom, the compromising worldly church is exciting. They're very exciting, I hear. They got great music. The corrupt church that follows seductive prophets and prophetesses, the dead church that fell asleep, the lukewarm church that's either hot or cold, or the faithful church, the faithful church. And this is what Jesus said to the faithful church. He commends them for being a word church. He says, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You have kept my word and not denied my name. He gives them understanding concerning the end times and the great tribulation, telling them that I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I've actually written a book on the tribulation. The Lord's given me revelation, understanding concerning those things as well. He says, it's over in verse 11, he says, behold, I'm coming quickly, hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. Are you a crown one? These are folks that are going for the prize. They're reaching for the prize, the crown that God has for them. They want to run the race, and they want to do it successfully. That's this faithful church. And then he says to them in verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. God wants you to become pillars in his temple, not just another brick in the wall. He's raising you up to be great leaders in the kingdom of God. I don't know. I like that church, and I want to be that church. And I think we fit that description fairly well. I mean, that's our heart. That's our goal. You got to do a checkoff list. You got to check up on yourself. I mean, you got to look and say, are we a lukewarm church? Are we a corrupt church? Are we all these other different churches? Are we a compromising church? Are we a dead church? What kind of church you want? There's a faithful one right here. So it really depends on you, what you want. What you want. God will lead you and guide you to what you want. Isn't he a good God? He gives you seven different choices. Seven different choices. Pick which one you want. You know, I'm in this church just like you. He put me here. He directed me here. It was his idea. It wasn't something that I thought of. It wasn't my idea to say, you know what? I never asked God. I never prayed. I said, God, please make me a pastor. Please, God, give me a church. I want to pastor a church so bad, God. I never prayed that in my life. I never asked him for this. He just told me to do it. He directed me to do it. He assigned me to do it. And now we just want to do it the best we can. So we look to him to lead and guide us in what we're doing, because this is his deal. This is not of man. Man did not originate this work. This work has come from God. And when you come to God's house, you're coming to a meeting with him. And there's things, there's messages he has for you. And if you're one of those that want to be faithful, you're going to love this. If you're one of those that are worldly, you're probably not going to like this. If you're one of those that are lukewarm, you're probably going to say, that's a little too much. You know what I'm saying? That's a little extreme. I don't like extreme. Ooh, it's hot. You know, you're not gonna like. There's things you are not going to like about this church if you're not fitted for this church. But you decide that. You decide what kind of church you want to be a part of. You decide what messages you want to hear. And there's been folks, they've looked and they go, well, I just don't agree with what he said. Well, my question is, what in the scriptures do you not agree with? Give me scripture for your disagreement. They don't have any. They just don't agree with the way I said it. The way I looked at them when I said it. Or they don't like the way that I didn't invite them to the prayer meeting. Or I didn't do this. They come up with all kinds of reasons, things that they, I just think that was too hard. Give me Bible, give me scripture and verse for why it's, you think it's too hard. Well, I just feel like it's too hard. Give me scripture and verse. Are you a word person or are you a feeling-oriented person? Let's come back. What does, how many of you know the Bible needs to be the final authority on everything in our life? What does God say about it? But a lot of folks get turned off and think that it's not because the message is wrong, the messenger is wrong. It's because this isn't a fit for them. They don't fit here. And that's okay. Not everybody's going to fit at Ephesus. Not everybody's going to fit over in Philadelphia. Not everybody's going to fit in these places. People have to find their fit. And I don't get offended. I've never gotten hurt or offended. I just can't believe they left the church. I just can't. I don't care. They just need to find their place and they need to go there. That's between them and God. I'm going to just do my part. But, you know, you see, they get discouraged. I can't believe after all we've done for them. It wasn't about you doing something for them. It was about the Spirit of God ministering to them. And if they want to leave and do something else, let them go. There's no bemoaning here. There's no, oh, please stay. And we try to manipulate you to stay here. You can leave if you want. Nobody made you come here. And nobody's going to make you stay here. Not even God. God will direct you here and say, you like this? Nice guy up there, huh? You like that? Like this place? Nice people? You like it? They go, yeah, I like this. Good, good. Stick around for a little while. Okay, great. And a few messages later, they go, I don't know if I like this. He says, all right, where would you like to go? Well, I'd like to go to the First Church of the Compromise. Okay, come on. Let's go to the First Church of the Compromise. And you can go over there. And there's no problem with that. See, it's all about following God. God meets each one where they're at. Amen. There's no manipulating. There's no controlling. There's no trying to dominate your life. I like that, don't you? Even God himself, he's not going to force you. He's not going to come down with a heavy hand and push you to do something. He's going to let you make your choice. He's going to woo you. He's going to speak to you. And if what he says to you connects with your heart, then you will connect with him and he'll do things in your life through that connection. But if you don't like that and you disagree with that, he'll try to help connect you somewhere else. But will you experience his best? I want his best. You know, there's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our life. Over in Romans chapter 12 tells us that. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect. I want his best. I want the perfect will of God. That's what I'm reaching for. That's the kind of messages I preach. That's what this church is all about. I want pillars in the house of God. I want pillars, man. I want people to rise up and be tall and strong in the kingdom of God and serve God with a loyal heart. I want God to bless them, enrich them, and put them over in life. That's what I want for you. That's what I want to see happen. I want to bring God glory through raising up people that will serve him wholeheartedly. And we'll say, yeah, take out the magnifying glass, take out the microscope, get down in there, Pastor, and just work. Holy Ghost, work in me and fix me up. Deal with my motives, deal with my attitude, deal with my opinions, deal with all these things and just correct me and adjust me and make me more like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to follow in the example of Jesus. Amen. And that's the kind of message that is coming forth from this local church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so it's important. Get those messages. Hear from God. Be seen in the house of God. When you show up, when you are seen, it affects things. It affects other people. It is affecting the flow of the Spirit and the ministry. And so if everybody is in their place, then we're going to have an abundance of the grace that we're supposed to have to be able to run the race that God has called each one of us to run. You're not a loner. There's no loners and rebels. We're all soldiers in the army of the Lord. We are part of this mighty moving force in the earth. I think, you know, just like in the military, there's all different branches of the military. I don't know. I kind of like the special forces. I just kind of, you know, just kind of lean in that direction, you know. Not just, you know, I mean, so thank God for, you know, just your basic soldier out there on the battlefield. But I like those Green Berets and the Delta Force. And I like those guys that go in there at night with all that black makeup on and come up under the water and go on those secret missions and go in there and get Osama Sababamas and just Osama Bin Ladens and just, you know what I'm talking about? Come on. I'm on the SEAL team, right? What is it? The Navy SEALs and that's what we got going on in here, just so you know. You know, the training's a little bit more rigorous for those in the special forces. I mean, it can get pretty intense, you know. And, I mean, the drill sergeants in the Army are pretty loud, but you get in those special forces, you know, and you start going through their training. And, I mean, they'll put you through it. They'll put you through it. In fact, I was looking at a documentary on it, you know, the military and things and the special forces and there's this bell, I think it's in the Marines, that they could ring this bell if they want to quit. They go through boot camp, and anytime and the drill, you know, the drill sergeant, he just keeps telling, goes, you can ring the bell, and it'll all be over, right? All the pain will be over, it'll all be done, and you can go home right now. You can go home right now to mommy. If you want to go home to mommy, you can go home to mommy right now. There's the bell. Just ring the bell. You don't have to do another push-up. You don't have to do another sit-up. Just ring the bell. Ring the bell and go home to mommy. And these guys won't ring the bell. I mean, some of them do. They ring the bell and go, I'm done. But then there's guys, they won't ring the bell. They won't ring the bell. They're going to stay in there. They're going to stay in there and become a force that is going to resist hell and overcome the powers of darkness. Amen? They're going to fight and fight and fight, fight to the end. Praise God. Because they don't love their lives even unto the death. That's the kind of folks God is looking for. Some people that are committed to that degree. They want to be that committed. They want to be that transformed by the Spirit of God. And they say, put me through it. Give it to me. I'm not going to get offended. The way somebody looks at me, they're sitting in my seat. That's my seat. They know it's my seat. I always sit in that seat. Now I can't sit in that seat yet because they're sitting in my seat. Really? Really? Ring the bell. Some people ring the bell, they don't leave, they take the bell with them, they just ring it everywhere they go. I just want you to know I left that church, and I'm proud of it, and I want everybody to know I'm a bell ringer, and I'm a slanderer, and I'm not a part of that church anymore. I just want you all to know, ding, 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 I just want you all to know, I'm a bell ringer. I'm going to take as many with me too, praise God. Get up in everybody's ear, ring that bell. Then you got Christians that listen to it. Huh? Ding, 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 ding. But, you know, we're not going to listen to the bell. I'm not going to look at the bell ringers. You get look at the bell ring. You start looking at all the people ringing the bell. The devil get on your shoulder and say, I think you should ring the bell. Then you start playing that song. Won't you ring my bell? Ring my bell. Won't you ring my bell? Ring my bell. Go ahead. That pastor.
He's really provoking me today. He's not worried about it. He's not worried. Trust me, he's not worried about it. He doesn't love his life unto death. I'm not trying to protect myself, save my life. I'm trying to build my ministry. This is not my ministry. It's his ministry. It's his deal. I didn't ask for this. I tell him all the time. I say, God, I didn't ask for this. These are your people. They're your problem. This is your church. It's your problem. That pastor just loves us. No, he doesn't. Trust me, it's the love of God on me that loves you. And he's on me. I got good news for you. He's on me. He is on me big time. Praise God. I just want to hug you. Give you a big kiss. Praise the Lord. He's on me. But isn't that nice to know? You have the choice. You're just, well, I don't want to make the pastor feel. You know, you see ministers, they say, hey, thank you for coming to my meeting. Thank you for coming to my, like you did me a favor coming to church where I poured out my heart to you and I gave everything, I prayed and I gave everything I had to help you and I'm thanking you for coming to my meeting. It's not my meeting. It's all for you. You understand? This is for you. You say thank you. Some of you are way overdue for it too, by the way. A little thank you once in a while, right? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
That was a nice message.
Thank you, Pastor. How about thank you, Pastor? Hey, Beth. You've got to get these things get so twisted around in the body of Christ. It's so twisted because of the worldly church, the corrupt church. You got all these weird churches. You got all this stuff going on. And people are weird. People got it all messed up. They got the word all messed up. They got how church life is supposed to be. It's all messed up. So we got to clean it up. We got to clear it up. We got to put things in its proper perspective. We're having fun doing it. But we're getting things adjusted. Getting things corrected. And the choice is yours. The decision is yours. You know, you're not going to offend me if you do not come to church. I'm so sorry I didn't come to church, Pastor. Well, you apologize to me for it. I didn't do a thing. I still preached. I still ministered. Now, you might have affected other people and you might have affected the flow, but that's between you and Jesus. You understand? You answer to him. You didn't offend me personally. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't offend me. Might offend the master. But he, you know, like I said, he's so merciful. He's so good. He'll just direct you somewhere else that's more fitting for you. And there's places that'll fit for you. Can you say amen? And he'll do his best to bless you there. You know, just like with Israel, the children of Israel, they were all clamoring about they wanted a king. They didn't want Samuel to be the ruler over their nation anymore as God's prophet. They didn't want a theocracy. They wanted a monarchy. That's what they wanted. They wanted a king. So they're just bellyaching and crying, we want a king. We want a king like all the other nations. And so God says, fine, I'm going to give you a king. So God gave them exactly what they wanted. He didn't say, I'm going to blow you all. I'm going to nuke this place right now. He didn't say that. He said, I am going to give you a king. Now he's going to cause problems for you. You're going to have all kinds of problems because of the king, but I'm going to anoint a king to rule over you. So I'm going to give you the kind of leader that you want because I love you so much and I'll help you as much as I can. I won't be able to help you as much as I could if we did it this way, but if you want to go that way, I will anoint that way and I will help you as much as possible while you go that way. That's how good he is. And then people say, see, I'm in the perfect will of God because God's here. God speaks to me when I'm praying. God speaks to me. God gives me revelation. He speaks to you. He loves you, honey. He loves you right where you are. But are you going to have his best? Not if you don't give your best. Not if you don't reach with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind to have him 110%. Can you say amen? Praise God. How many people are going to go for it all? Man, we're just doers of the word. We love the word. We want to follow God's plan to the full for our lives. Can you say amen? But how's that going to happen? We've got to be a part of a church, a local church. You decide the church. God really decides the church. He leads you and connects you. But it has to be something you want because he doesn't force. That's the point of that. He doesn't force it. He gives people the opportunities. He gives them opportunities, but you have to take those opportunities. If you despise what he gives you, you will not have it much longer. You will have it taken from you, or you will be removed from it, but you will not enjoy it if you despise it. So let's make sure we're not despising something God's giving us. Let's not look at personalities and people and judge everything according to the flesh. Let's make sure that we recognize what God's doing and we esteem it and we honor it and we get all we can get from it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank God for the word today.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.